Your Best Time Cycle Tour Podcast is brought to you by Dis-Chem. Choose safe supplements.
Thank you for downloading Your Best Time Podcast. In this series, we bring three guinea pigs into our pedal stroke laboratory and ask them about their goals for the Cape Town Cycle Tour. We ask cycling scientist Ben Capostagno to analyze their training plans and reveal if they are on the right track. Today's guinea pig is Luv, an IT guy who has come agonizingly close to a sub 4. He says 2015 is his year to go under 4 hours, because that's the time that separates the weekend warriors from the true cyclists. So Ben, today's case study is a guy who's been trying to go for a sub 4 for a couple of years.
Okay.
He's come very close a couple of times, but something always happens along his journey. His name's Luv. He's an IT guy.
Okay.
And he wants to get a sub 4 because he feels that riders under 4 are proper cyclists. Over 4 are still weekend warriors.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, a 3:59 sounds way better than a 4:01.
Eh? Yeah, yeah. Well, here's Luv.
So, Luv, you're going for a sub 4.
Okay.
Tell us about last year's attempt at a sub 4.
I came pretty close. I did a thing at 4:03. I lost my bottle in Simonstown. Threw out a little bit, because then I started thinking about, my carbohydrate drink is gone. And
so you lose your carbohydrate drink.
Yeah, like pretty early on. I mean, that's going to affect you. So, Liv doesn't really go into details of sort of what happened there, but ideally, you know, you should ride with two bottles. You know, if your bike takes two bottle cages, and
because I know what he said afterwards, he lost his second bottle.
okay, so he really didn't have a good day.
He really lost the bottle. Yeah,
yeah. Well, I mean, look, I mean, if Liv was aiming for a sub 4, and you know, he came into the 4:03 with, after losing both bottles, you know, I definitely think he's probably got it in him to go under 4. Just sort of from an outside. I'm sure we'll hear more from him now. But yeah, obviously losing your bottles isn't ideal. I'm not sure. I remember, I think they used to hand out bottles, or at least they used to have aid stations along the way. So, you know, if you stopped at those and was quick about it, then you could carry on. But obviously losing your fuel is a big problem.
Yeah.
No, I mean, stopping somewhere. And then when I got to the top of Spitzwinkel, I lost my other bottle. So I had nothing at halfway. And then that played on my mind throughout the race. And then fortunately,
So never mind that he didn't have fuel. It was also this thing that was bothering him. How important?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, I think there's a huge psychological component to performance. And, you know, like, it's quite interesting that Liv actually acknowledged that, you know, like, both my bottles are gone. Now I'm in trouble. I think, you know, if something like that happens on race day, whether it be a puncture or if your bottles fall off your bike, it's probably to try and just remain calm, don't panic. In Liv's case, obviously you focus on getting to the next aid station, just stopping, you know, refueling as quick as possible, and then carrying on. If it's a puncture, try and repair it as quickly as you can. Don't rush through it. Make sure you do everything properly, and then just carry on.
Then fortunately, when I got to just before Ocean View, I saw a guy with spare bottles and asking for that. Took on some bottler and soldiered on.
So do you think that, because you got a 4:03, do you think those bottles cost you three minutes?
I think those bottles mentally cost me 3 minutes. I don't know. I'm not blaming them. You know, because I was ahead of schedule at Smitswinkel.
So Luv was working on a
schedule. Yeah, he had a plan. It's clear, and he's a much bigger man than me. I would have blamed the bottles, definitely. but yeah, having a plan and knowing sort of like a pacing strategy of where you need to be in order to achieve your goals is a good idea. Again, that should be based on you rather than sort of like a generic one, if possible. So, you know, some people might be quicker up climbs, and other guys might be stronger on the flats. So just make sure that your pacing strategy fits to you and your sort of type of riding, or strengths at least.
And I was pretty much on par at top of Chapman's Peak, but yeah, that and my nemesis, Sega bossy. Kind of like cost me three
everyone's
minutes,
so. Nemesis.
Sega bossy is everyone's nemesis.
I think so. I mean, and I mean, the funny thing is, like, you know, again, for the Cape Town-based cyclists, they'll know it's not really that bad of a hill. Like, I mean, it's nasty, but it's not too bad.
It's a sting
I think
in the tail.
It's location in the race is the killer. So, yeah. I mean, you know, if you're a weekend warrior like Liv, you know, you've come over Smits, you've done Chappies now, and then you've got this big sort of like all this last sort of challenge to get around. But, you know, this should be like a lot of motivation to get through there, because once you're over the top there, it's pretty much smooth sailing all the way down to the finish.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, and again, just your training and keeping something in reserve for Sega Bossy.
I need to figure out how to beat Sega Bossy.
Yeah. So what is your plan for Sega Bossy?
I just need to train, like do rides where I'm doing 90Ks and 90Ks, then get like a climb. I think that's the plan, you know.
Is that a good plan?
It's not a bad idea. It's basically a similar strategy to what the Tour de France riders will do when they recon climb. So, you know, they'll spend maybe a week or so around some of the major climbs for the route, and they'll go and they'll ride them so that they know what it's like. You know, they'll be riding with power meters, so they'll try and work out sort of what sustainable power output they can ride on the climbs, etc. So for Liv as well, that's probably more of a psychological advantage than a physiological one.
Okay.
So, you know, if he's doing a 90K ride and finishing on Sega Bossy, for example, then it'll probably help him sort of by the time he reaches it in the race.
Yeah. Usually when I go training rides, I'll get to 90 or 95 and it's flat home, whatever. So I need to get to a place where when I'm at 90, I need to find a climb I could train. And then maybe just pre-August, cycle it a bit more towards the end, because I've never really done, because I usually just do like a 900K loop, but not include, that doesn't include Chapman's Peak or Sega Bossy. But this year, just I think mentally, I need to do it at least three or four times. I've heard of routes of going back, cycle from Chapman's, from Camps Bay that way, sort of the August.
The reverse route,
yes. Yeah. So it includes a lot more hills. So I think I need to try that and see if it's going to help. But I think, as I said, my thing is just to figure out at 90Ks so that the legs know that at that stage it needs to climb 2Ks.
So what is your training plan at the moment?
Training plan is three times a gym, spinning on a watt bike. It's been great because I think, I don't know if it's mental or not, but training on wattage seems to do the trick, because you kind of like know how much power you're using and etc. So it involves three training sessions at the gym and a fairly long ride on Saturdays, 90K plus rides if I can't get one in. And then on Sundays, I do like a 60 or 70K ride, but a little bit more intense. But yeah, I just push it on the way home.
What do you think of that plan? Is that a good plan?
Not a bad idea. So it sounds like he's getting at least five sessions in a week, which is good. Three of those, he said, those are probably his midweek sessions are done on watt bikes, which are like very cool pieces of kit. As you said, like training to sort of power output or wattage is quite cool, because cycling is one of the few sports in the world where you can actually measure directly measure intensity, like power output. So that's definitely helpful. If I was him, I would make one of those sessions on the watt bikes a bit more quality, maybe a bit more of an interval session where he's pushing a little bit harder.
What do you mean by an interval session?
So basically, interval session would be periods of high intensity and sort of separated by sort of periods of recovery or lower intensity. And the idea there is to try and accumulate more work at higher intensities than you could in a single sort of session.
So in other words, trying to go flat out for as long as you can?
No, not as long as you can, yeah. So generally, we like prescribing sort of intervals anywhere from 10 minutes down. If you're doing proper high intensity where it's an all-out effort, you know, anywhere from 5 minutes down. So nothing much longer than 5 minutes. And those lengths ensure that you're hitting pretty high intensity so that, you know, that you can't really sustain for longer than 5 minutes. One of those maybe during the week. And then if I was Liv, I would change the order of his Saturday and Sunday sessions, maybe make the Saturday session a little bit harder, maybe a little bit shorter, and then make sure that the Sunday session is very, very easy, but a little bit longer.
And what's the reason for suggesting that?
Just because if he tries to do an intensity or a bit more quality work after a long ride the day before, you know, his legs won't be super fresh, so he won't be able to hit high intensity. So, so that's the reason. And then just making sure that long ride is very, very easy.
Like almost like a bit of a mini time trial to see if I could how fast it can go. So that's like it. But yeah, so 5 times a week and rest day on Monday and Friday.
You've had a bit of a break.
Yes.
For December, you were training quite hard.
Yes. December. It's going to be a bit of a struggle now. I hope not. I've not lost much. I mean,
have you been on the bike?
I took my bike home. I put it on a spinning bike on a training thingy, and I think I used it maybe about 3 times. Half the time I was eating. So I'm hoping that that was good, but the rest was good for me. Maybe it was like a week and a half of not riding, so okay. I think I should be okay.
So your legs are fresh now.
I think my legs are fresh though.
It was a week and a half of not riding, but he did admit that he'd been eating a lot, and in fact he did admit as well that it was longer than a week and a half of not riding.
Yeah,
I think it was most of December and a bit of January. It is important to take a break from
riding.
Yeah,
for sure.
But how much of a break is a break?
Yeah, maybe yeah, it depends obviously on how much sort of your training load. So often sort of some of the lead riders will take 4 weeks off at the end of a season, but I mean they've been going pretty much flat out for the rest of the 11 months. So for someone like Liv, you know, like if he feels he needs sort of a break of around 2 weeks, then that's fine.
Yeah,
it's just important for him to realize that, you know, detraining unfortunately is real. And sometimes, you know, you do lose the gains you've got from training, and a 2 week period can actually have a significant result in a significant drop in performance. So
2 weeks off the bike.
Probably hurt Liv's sort of preparations a little bit, but again, not to be sort of. He mustn't be worried now. You know, there's nothing you can do about that. It's just make sure that his training from now till August is consistent.
It's really good because I've been riding since July. And towards closer to the Berg, I was actually quite fatigued. I think mentally wise, I thought, geez, I've been training. This thing was just come. So I think also time off the bike isn't good because my last ride was just after the holiday in December 16th. And I think I went to gym once after that. And then I think the rest has been good. Mentally, I'm looking forward to riding now. I've been training for the next 8 weeks because I think you need a break because there's no way I could have carried on because I would have thrown my bike in the river now if I trained.
Good luck.
So Liv is ready to go. He's keen. He's going to practice drinking from his bottles without dropping them. What advice have you got for him?
I mean, Liv's come so close to achieving that four-hour goal. I definitely think, as you said, you know, from now, if he's sort of the next 8 weeks are consistent in terms of his training, I think he'll be okay. He knows sort of what's coming. I think, you know, being so close, he knows he's capable of doing a 4 hour.
And he's determined.
And he's determined as well. And it sounds like the rest did him good. He's motivated. He's feeling like riding again, which is always a good sign.
So your money is on him to,
yeah, I
to
think,
go under.
I think being so close last year, touch wood, if the wind stays away, I think, and his bottles stay in his cages, then I think he'll be okay. Yeah.
Cool. Thanks, Ben.
Sure.
Thanks for listening to Your Best Time podcast, brought to you by Bicycling Magazine and produced by Jonathan Anser and Dan Dews.
Your Best Time Cycle Tour podcast is brought to you by Dis-Chem. Choose safe supplements.